Hi, and welcome to the View Church Tableview Podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives.
Good morning. You guys good? You guys all right? So good to be with you guys. And who's enjoying their long weekend? Hey? For all the business owners, who's struggling with the long weekend? Like, you know, the economy, you guys are messing up the economy. We need less public holidays. All the guys put up their hands, yeah, yeah. And then for everyone else who just loves public holidays, give a shout out, hey? Like, I'm just trying to see where our church is at. Listen, Leanne and I were away last weekend. We were at a church conference, and then I ended up staying for their Sunday services. We were there for like 5 days. It was quite funny. We had 3 days of church, and then we woke up. I think it was like, so we were there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so morning and evening, and then on Friday we woke up. It was a Saturday, and we were having breakfast. We were staying at these people's house in the church who we're friends with, and so our youngest daughter, first of all, Leanne hadn't come down yet. She was with them. I came down. I finished my notes for my preaching. She was with the girls, and then we swapped. She can get ready, and first Zara turns to me and says, "You know, Daddy, I really love you. Just don't tell Mommy." Okay, like, no, she said that. She's a very strategic child because she says whenever Mommy asks me who she loves, she says to me that she loves me, that their relationship's the closest. So it's a bit manipulating, Leanne. Anyway, but she does. She loves her Mommy, I think, a bit more than me. But then my other daughter said, "So where are we going to go today?" I said, "We're going to go to church again." She said, "You're joking, right?" Like, I was just blown away that she actually, like, "You're joking, right?" Yes, fourth day in a row. But then she had a jaw. We made sure they had loads of fun at church. But straight after that Saturday morning, they took me to the Sharks Stormers game, which is a bit of a setup, hey? You know what I mean? They put me right in the halfway line, and I had to watch the Stormers get beaten. But I just felt all right about it because I think the guy who scored the winning try for the Sharks grew up in Paul. So, you know what I mean? Like, we win anyway. I just took the win. I claimed it. You know what I mean? Doesn't that count for us? Don't we get half of that try? Because he's lived more than half his life in the Western Cape. We're going to carry on with our Forever Free series. And for all our first-time guests, if you didn't get a card and you are new, we'd love to connect with you. So just come. We'd love to give you filter coffee or cappuccino. I'm going to be there. So even if you didn't put your hand up, come. We'd love to connect, and I just want to celebrate. You know, Cameron in the front row here, he gets here early. He's got our View gym team. They set up this place, and he's built a car park team, which we've had guys for years trying to build that team, but he's a machine. Not only does he support Liverpool, which is a thing of God, I'm just saying that because they're going to win the Champions League. Please, Jesus, come on. But you're a legend. And then this Thursday, we had our youth signed up. 117 of our teens are serving. How good's that? 117 of our teens are in serving ministries. And that's just, I just want to encourage you. If you've got teenage, young people, our kids' church, Bounce, View City, it's flourishing. If you look at it, you know, Paul Van Collar was a teenager in the church, became a youth pastor, started Zambi. He was my youth pastor. Then I took over from Paul, and then Dino, then we had Jared, then Matt, and we got this continuous thing. Martin came out of it, PC, who runs Sunnydale. It's like the youth group has fed all these other churches, and our college now is about to blow up. And there's so much health right now in the area of 18 and under. If you've got a child in this church, you are at the right church because they're going to have a great destiny, God. What's going to happen in those environments is going to be supernatural. So I just want to thank everyone who serves in all those environments. So this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to help you put some alarm systems in to your life. I don't even install alarm systems. I think Nigel's better than that. Nigel Roman will help you afterwards if you do need help. But I'm going to try to spiritually help you put locks on the door and put as alarm systems in. I'm going to show you three areas that the Bible shows us that we need to do it. And I'm going to go to John 8, 31 to 36. And we're carrying on with our series Forever Free. We had Donovan kick it off. Then I preached the week after that. Graham would have preached last week. And then I'm doing the last one. And then tonight we got a food market. 5:30 it opens for young families. Have supper before. We got Mexican food. We got some other foods. And then afterwards, food as well. So food market tonight. Next week, Sunday night, my wife is she's already got the message. Sunday night, she's preaching. So we got another, we're kicking off our food market season in the evening. So join us in the evenings. Kids church, full kids program. You will be blessed. Here we go. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That's been our key scripture for the last 4 weeks in church. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" So, of course, they were confused. We are God's children. We are a holy nation. How can you challenge us? And, of course, Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Let's pray. God, we just thank you that you have made us free. You sent your son. And if we are stuck in our sin, we're slaves. But because a son has come down and laid down his life, he has given us freedom. And we are changed because of it. I pray today that you'd help us and give us a revelation on areas we could shut the door or close the window. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, so you and I are free. If you look at, if we went and stood before God, if you've given your life to Jesus, you are free because of what Jesus did for you. He paid a price on the cross. And if you accept it, it's by the grace of God you receive it. You receive it. You can't earn it. And now you have a right to your salvation and also eternity with God. But the enemy, his whole role is he lies, he steals, and he tries to kill. So when he does it, he actually doesn't have a legal right. You are now a child of God. So it's like somebody breaking into your house. Do they own your house? Do they have a right to your possessions? No, you could even go to the cop station, get your case number. You can go to your insurance company because somebody has taken what they had no right to take. So the devil will always do that. That's his tactics. He's a deceiver. He's the accuser of the brethren. He will come at you with lies and he'll try to steal from you. So what we see in the Bible is how he does it, and we can encourage how to live. So Ephesians 4, 26 to 28 says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." So, of course, he tries to put his foot in the door or tries to sort of put something in the window to get a foothold in your life. He has been stealing and must steal no longer. Okay, so the devil wants a foothold in your life so that he can steal from you. So he has no rights on it, but he's going to try and do it. You're going to experience robbing in areas, but you're actually a child of God. And what we want in this church is we not only want you to live forever with God, which we believe if you've accepted Christ, that's what's going to happen. We also don't want you to live in a robbing. You know, we don't want your marriage to be robbed of its potential. We don't want your relationship with your children to be robbed. We don't want your finances to be robbed. We don't want your health to be robbed. We don't want your heart and your mind to be robbed. We want you to be free. And whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. And you actually have a right to it because of what Jesus did. So you and I have accepted Christ, and legally the devil has no right, but we can leave a window or a door open. We can give him a foothold, and he will come to steal what he has no right to steal. You and I belong to God, but if we leave a door or a window open, the devil will steal. He will steal. That's what he does. So God wants you to have those things that have actually been stolen from you. He doesn't want you to live empty. He doesn't want you to live robbed. He doesn't want you to live in regret. He doesn't want you to live in this place where you always feel that emptiness. Joel 2 verse 9 says, "They rush upon the city. They run along the wall. They climb into the houses. Like thieves, they enter through the window." So we see even the Bible speaks about in the Old Testament, the thieves enter through the window. 2 Corinthians 2, 10 to 11 says, "Anyone you forgive, I also forgive." And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. In order, the reason we forgive, so we've been forgiven by Jesus, so we pass on forgiveness. Yeah, and Paul's saying this, in order that Satan might not outwit us. So Satan wants you to live in unforgiveness. He wants you to live in bitterness. But once you've received forgiveness for everything you've ever done and going to do, you have no right to hold people accountable for what they do to you. You need to forgive. Yeah, you need to be wise. Don't go and walk into relationships where people are going to hurt you. You can forgive them and walk away from it. You need to be wise. But we as Christians have given up the right to hold unforgiveness. And even if it's a journey, you need to go on that journey. If it's going to take a year or two to forgive them, I know that some people's journey is longer than others. So, for we are not unaware of his schemes. So Satan wants to outwit you, but you and I are not unaware of his schemes. And that's hopefully what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to leave you aware of the schemes that Satan has. So many of us are unaware, and we leave doors and windows open. And in the Message Bible, the same scripture says it like this. So if you forgive him, I forgive. So if you forgive him, I forgive him. Don't think I'm carrying around a list of personal grudges. The fact is that I'm joining in with your forgiveness as Christ is with us, guiding us. After all, we don't want to unwittingly give Satan an opening for yet more mischief. We're not oblivious to his sly ways. So, of course, Satan wants a way in. He wants to put his foot in. He wants to leave it. He wants to find a door or a window open. So what are the doors and what are the windows? It's pretty simple. There are only really three doors or windows, and Satan will always come at you through those areas. So the plus side to it is it's pretty simple. If he only comes in three ways, then there are three areas we need to put up some security. We need to put up an alarm system. Let's get sorted in those three areas so that we don't live in a robbing. So it's a pattern that the enemy tries to enter in and steal from your life. And it's in 1 John 2:15 to 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, here's the three doors, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, come not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires pass away. So these desires that you have, they'll pass away. They limited. It's like the short life can be overtaken by something that's limited. Why not let the short life be overtaken by something that's unlimited, enjoy eternity with Christ, and not only go to heaven, because you know, we're Christians, rather than you live this life in a way that you store up treasure in heaven and enjoy a full life and see your family flourish and your kids and be forever free and be free indeed. So the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of the Father lives forever. So number one, the way that he tries to enter in is the lust of the flesh. It's our passions. It's our appetite. And of course, in winter, when it gets colder, who gets hungrier? And we all said amen. Okay. It's that thing in you that wants your body to be happy. It takes your feelings into consideration. Of course, here's the thing. You can't trust your thirst, even though Sprite encourages you. You can't trust your feelings. Okay, it's dangerous. Your feelings will lie to you every time. People who want to live contrary to God's word will say, well, that's just how I'm feeling and that's who I am. And that's not a great way to live, because you can't actually build a marriage on that. You can't give your children stability on that. You can't even do business on that. Well, I didn't feel like it today. Well, there's a contractor. We need to say God's word is our standard now. We're his children. He set us free, but he's done it because he's a loving father. He's done it because he knows that we can open up areas in our life where we can experience robbing. So we're not going to just live by our feelings. Our feelings need to come under the subjection of God's word and will. The will of God takes precedence over our feelings. Our feelings are always trying to pull us towards an appetite and away from God. Listen here, God is going to bless you, and there's things you can enjoy in this life. And God has put things in place where you can enjoy your marriage and your family and your kids. But if you live by your feelings, you're going to live by a spirit that says, if it feels good, I'll do it. You know, you can try everything once. If it feels good, I do it. And that's a dangerous way to live. I've even heard some people are changing their vows, saying, I'll love you as long as I feel the love I have for you now. That's their marriage vows. Oh my God, that's a dangerous place to get married in. Because let's face it, you're not always going to feel in love, but love is a decision. Okay? So you know what I mean? We can't actually base anything. There's no foundation. There's no stability. So every time I followed my feelings above God's word, it's turned out really badly. Confession time. Every time I've done that, and I believe the same is for you. The same is true for you. Every time you follow your feelings, you've had regrets, you felt a robbing in your life. So the enemy will try to attach you to those desires, attract you to this way of life, and sometimes he does it through sexuality. Other times he'll do it through pornography. And those are just examples that I can give you, but he will get you to take a bite of something outside of God's plan. It's like that apple, Eve, take a bite of this outside of God's plan. And then all of a sudden, what you thought was going to be good hurts you, and there's a robbing. So I know that most of you, who's experienced a robbing like I've experienced, hey, where you've done something, you just feel, flip, I don't want to do that. It's like Paul says, I do what I don't want to do. It's hurting my marriage. It's hurting my kids. It's hurting my finances. It's hurting my heart. It's hurting my mind. It's actually, this felt, I thought this was good, but when I woke up, it was, there was such a robbing, and I need to actually close that door. The second way, lust of the eyes. It's our possessions. This is the second way that Satan will try to come in. So I said the first way, it's our passions. It's our flesh. The next way is the eyes, our possessions. I want it all, and I want it now. We live in a generation that actually values debt because debt allows them to get what they want right now. But then you become a slave to somebody you're paying the bills to. You know what I mean? It's total slavery. It's a hunger for more, and it can't wait. I don't have patience to wait for that, to save up for that. This, of course, is prevalent in prosperous societies. And you must understand, you might say, well, I'm not as prosperous. But no, no. You in a society where you see prosperity. So then you get pulled by what you see, not what you're experiencing. You might say, I'm not experiencing prosperity. But because you see it, you start to live like what you see. The culture is actually leading you. So a prosperous. So here's the thing. You can look in our community, and South Africa is quite crazy. You'll have the rich and the poor living so close to each other. So what dominates? It's the spirit. Of you know what I mean? It's the spirit that dominates of I want it now. So you can have nothing and still want it now and go, well, I'll get debt for it. So you don't even have to have money to get caught up in this. You can just be with people who have money and that spirit is rife. So it's the lust of the eyes, our possessions. And what the possessions will say, if you get these things, you're going to be satisfied. You're going to be happy. You're going to be so stoked. If you just get this, you get this. But it's a hole that you never can fill. It empties out. Bad picture, it's like a toilet. You'll pour yourself out to get it, and then it gets flushed away. And they'll kick you off the throne, and they'll put somebody else there. It's an empty life, and it gets flushed down the drain. So it says, if you get these things, you'll be happy, but it will never satisfy you. Only God can satisfy you. That's what the word says, only God can satisfy you. So this will pull you into greed. Then the third way, so I've given you two ways so far. I've said to you, it's the lust of the eyes, the possessions. It's about your passions, the lust of your flesh. And the last way he'll get into your life is the pride of life, our position. We're not in the right place positionally. We position ourselves badly. We think way too much of ourselves. We elevate our human attainment, what we can attain in this life, and we even elevate our opinions above God's. Of course, opinion doesn't build anything. Wisdom builds the house. There's no foundation. Great, that's great, but let's build on some wisdom. You know what I mean? Let's not build marriage on opinion. Let's not build business on opinion. Let's not build friends. Let's build it on the wisdom of God. What's wisdom? God's word applied. That's the math sum. God's word applied. So we think too much of ourselves. It's a spirit that doesn't honor God. It's a pride that will bring you low. See, this is what's so interesting about this spirit. It's the only one of the three that God says, not only does he not like it, he doesn't like the other two spirits, he says he opposes this one. Because here's the thing, if I say to you, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, you go flipping. But if I say to you, pride, yeah, we're all a bit prideful, hey? This one he opposes. He not only doesn't like it, he opposes it. So God opposes the proud and he gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. So, and we don't want God opposing us. And we all said amen. So of course this can be, you know what I mean? You can be, try to get position through sex, salary and status. Sex, salary and status. You can, it's a temptation to feel, to have and to be. Okay, so Genesis 3 verse 6, we see Eve being tempted. And we actually see her tempted in three ways. It says, when the woman saw the fruit in the tree and that it was good for food. So first of all, good for food, it would feed her passions. It would feed her appetite. And then pleasing to the eye. So it was, I want it. This is good to my eye. That thing, I want it now. It's good on my eye. Okay, that's possessions. I want it now and I'm not going to wait. And desirable for gaining wisdom. So of course, position. If I'm wise, I'll be like God. That's what Satan said, you'll be like God. So it's hunger, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and position, pride. I'm going to be better than everyone. Three ways again. Three ways the enemy tries to get in, and it started right off in Genesis. Then Jesus was tested. In Matthew 4, we see the tempter came to him and said, this is the devil speaking to Jesus. He says, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. So, of course, what we see here is stones to bread. So we see the flesh. He's hungry. He hasn't eaten. If you tell these stones to become bread, Jesus, then you can eat. You can feed the desires of your flesh. But Jesus is saying, I'm telling my flesh it's not dominant. It's not my boss. I'm a spiritual man, so I'm fasting right now. So but Satan comes, again, flesh. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. Of course, it's like, well, the thing is, the angels will take care of you. You know what I mean? He'll command his angels concerning you. He'll lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot. So the enemy comes and says, you know what? He tries to attack Jesus in the area of pride. He says, you know what? Come on, aren't you the man? Like, you're going to be taken care of. And then, of course, he says, you know, if you do this, in verse 8, again, the devil took him to the very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I give you, he said, if you'll bow down and worship me. So then of course, pride, and then there's position. You're going to accumulate. If you do this, I'll give you everything. So Satan always comes through these different windows where he tries to get your body. He tries to say, you know what I mean? You know, if you look at all these things, I'll give you. If you throw yourself there, if you do this, I'll give you the whole city. Oh, it's lust of the eyes. And then it's pride, you know what I mean? If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. You know what I mean? Like, you're the man. You're the man, Jesus. You don't have to answer anyone. It's your decision. So Satan even tempted Jesus in those three doors. So we see we have to make sure we put security in those areas. And then lastly, just so we see this pattern in the Bible, the God of Asherah is the God of passions. It's a God of fertility and lust. It feeds your flesh. Have we got that? The God of Asherah. So then the next one is the God of Mammon, possessions. So God of Mammon, possessions, and then the God of Baal, position. If you look out of the Bible, those are the three mini gods who continuously show up in the Bible. God of Asherah, passions, the fertility God, the God of lust that feeds your flesh. Then the God of Mammon is the God, the lust of the eyes, possessions. And then the God of Baal is position. It's a demon of pride. So here's the thing. I want to come into your house this morning and help you set up your security. I want to come into your house this morning and I'm going to be we're going to put laser beams in. We're going to put some locks on the door. And we say there's three doors and there's three potential windows that the enemy will come in. He won't try really to get you in any other way. Right throughout scripture from Genesis, we see him coming. He even comes to Jesus in the same way. And because we seeing him do it in the same way, we can way easier deal with this because we know he's got three ways that he approaches us. So what's the antidote to the lust of our flesh? It's integrity. The antidote to the lust of our flesh is integrity. Integrity shuts the door. Of course, integrity is a math term. It means you're whole. An integrous person, or a person with integrity, has decided he's not going to live two lives. He's not going to be one person in the church and another person outside the church. He's not going to put a mask on. I'm going to come to grips with the fact that I have some issues, but I'm not going to hide these issues anymore. This is a person of integrity. This is how you deal with your flesh. So you're saying, I'm going to be a whole person. I'm going to be the same person. I'm going to be one person. I'm not going to be two people anymore. I'm going to have one foot in this side, one foot in the other side. Integrity is not being perfect. Integrity is being honest. Because people who are dishonest will always put a mask over their life. I'm not saying you need to be perfect here. I'm saying the challenge to us to close this door is to be honest about where we're at. If you're fighting in the area of lust, by doing it, by putting a mask on, and by yourself, I don't know if you're going to get through or close that door. The enemy will have a foothold. But I can guarantee you this. If you go to somebody you can trust and say to them, I'm struggling in this area, I need help finding freedom, and I want to go on a discipleship journey, you will walk in freedom. I believe it. If you find that, that's why view groups are so important. That's why getting into an interest group is so important. You know, we got prayer team that can pray with you in the front, but you might not see that person weekly. But if you get into a view group, you'll see that person weekly so they can walk a journey, and then you can book a coffee and you can talk about it, and you can have a bunch of guys with guys, girls with girls. You know, I'm in an interest group and I'm in a view group, and I will meet guys who will phone, will message, and they'll be honest and they'll tell, this is what I'm struggling with, and we can walk together. And it says in James, if you confess your sins to one another, not only will, of course, we'll find healing there, but we'll also start to live in freedom. Because here's the thing, the enemy wants you to put a mask on it. He wants you to keep it in darkness, and he wants you to keep it a secret. That's where he dominates. In darkness, in a secret, and with a mask on. But as soon as you bring it out into the light, he has lost his power, and he's lost authority. A person who has integrity takes the mask off and they're honest. They're not perfect, they're honest. Proverbs 5:7-10 says, now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to the path far from her. So, of course, he's speaking about this woman. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you lose your honor to others and your dignity to the one who is cruel. Lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich the house of another. What's crazy is this is a warning against getting caught up in adultery. And it says, if you get caught up in adultery, strangers will feast on your wealth, and you'll enrich the house of another. It's crazy. What it's saying is, when you get open that door, you actually lose what you work for. You have a massive robbing in your life. Other people enjoyed what was yours. It's crazy. That's why we need to close that door. And if you are struggling there, we say, come as you are. Jesus loves you too much to leave you that way. Come tell us. Find people. As men, we'll come around you. You know what's going to be crazy? When you talk about your struggles, you know what you're going to hear? You too. I've also been struggling with that. Let's stand together. Or I also went through that struggle. Satan wants you to believe that you're the only one struggling with it, and you're going to feel embarrassed. So keep the mask on. Don't tell anyone. Ladies, don't find another lady person. Don't live in freedom. Satan wants to lie. He's a liar. He can't tell the truth. He's not going to tell you the truth. Bro, you're one of all the guys. Everyone's got a struggle. Everyone's got a door open. He's not going to tell you that. You're the only one. You suck. That's what, you know what I mean? He's going to push. So you know what? When we come together, take the mask off, have integrity, be one person here and out in the workplace, we can start to live in freedom and shut the doors and put the locks on and say, Satan, you will not have a foothold in my life anymore. Romans 6:12-4 says, that means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your life. Sin does not decide how you're going to deal with this door. Because sin will say, don't tell anyone. Put a mask on. Don't give it a time of the day. Don't even run a little errands that are connected with the old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead. So throw yourself full time into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. Sin will try to pull you, but it actually has no right on you. After all, you're not living under the old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. So what I want to encourage you today is say yes to God and no to the devil by taking the mask off. That's how you're saying yes to God. Find a safe place. If you're not in a view group, come into a group. Yes, come into the front and have somebody pray for you. But then decide to walk a journey with somebody. Get connected. If the grass is greener on the other side, that lust that's pulling you, and we know in Cape Town, if it's greener in your neighbor's yard, they've spent serious money on a borehole or they're paying a lot of water bills. Okay. If it's greener, it's more expensive. The cost is higher. Be content, be grateful. Then number two, generosity. Generosity overcomes the demon of possessions and materialism. Genesis 4:2-7, now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. So there's two people in the story. Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of his fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. So Cain brought an offering to the God, to the Lord in the course of time. You see that? I've seen everyone's to see that. In the course of time, he brought an offering. Now, Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. Two different things there. We see that Cain brought an offering in the course of time. Abel brought an offering from the first. What we see in the story, the Lord looked with favor over Abel and his offering. Why? Because he brought first, but not on Cain and his offering. He did not look in favor. So Cain was angry. What we see in this story is then the Lord said to Cain, if you just go further down, Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. Again, a door. It desires to have you, but it must not rule over you. The enemy has no right to rule over you. You've got a decision to, but God says to Cain, because you brought in the course of time and not first, I didn't accept it. And the enemy's at your door and he wants to dominate you. He wants to. He has no right to. One of the best ways to shut the door on the enemy is to faithfully honor God. Of course, tithing is not just about the tenth, the first of your increase. Because this year, if you're a new year, the service is a gift to you. If you're part of this church, part of the church family, I'm speaking to you, and hopefully you can hear me on this. Because I don't teach on finances to actually say you need to give me stuff. I know that you can't serve God and money. So as a pastor, I need to teach you, you can't serve mammon. Like you, it says in the Bible that you're not going to, it doesn't say you can't serve God and the devil. No, it doesn't say that. It says you can't serve God and money. It's a big thing in this world, possessions. It's a door that Satan has. So when you do it, you're honoring God with the first of your finance. But tithing's actually about who comes first in your life. It's not about the tenth. God gives you the pattern of giving. But tithing is about who's coming first. That's why Abel brought the first flock. Cain brought in the course of time. It came in the back end. Here's the thing. God always comes first. He doesn't know how to come second. He doesn't play second fiddle. He doesn't play third position. He only plays first. That's why he works. He says, you put me first, the enemy has no authority, but if you put me in another place, the enemy tries to get in. He tries to put a foot off. And he tries to get in. I know it's quite a strong way of looking at it, but the best way to shut the door is to honor God in your giving. Be faithful. Of course, tithe means 10. It means a tenth. And every time you see the number 10 in the Bible, it normally comes along with testing. And of course, I've heard Robert Morris teach this and I looked into it, but I'm going to do it with you guys. Will you guys go on a journey with me? How many plagues were there in the Bible? How many plagues? You guys are getting it, so let's do it. How many plagues? How many commandments? How many times were Israel tested in the wilderness? Some of you guys might not know that, but you guys are getting the answer now. Hey, okay. How many times was Daniel tested? Okay, I need a bit more crowd participation here. Okay, I'm going to go again. Yeah. How many plagues? How many commandments? How many times was Israel tested? How many times was Daniel tested? How many times was Jacob's wages changed? How many virgins were tested in Matthew 25? How many days of testing will there be? Does the book of Revelation speak about? How many disciples were there? No, 12. Anyway, I'm just saying. We just did a survey right there. Who's actually Christians reading their Bible? And the answer is they're 10. No, Jackie, no. So, you know what's crazy is, I thought we needed to have some humor in this point because it's quite a touchy subject. So we see tithing's a test of who comes first. Every time we see 10 in the Bible, it's a test. God's asking you, who's coming first in your life? So God not only tests you, he actually says, test me. When he says, you take a test, I'll also take the test. Malachi 3, 10 to 11, bring all the tithes to the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Try me now in this. Other versions say, test me in this. See, God also takes the test. It says the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there'll not be enough room to receive it, I'll rebuke the devourer. So this is what's amazing. God says, if you put me first, he will not ask you to shut the door. He says, if you put me first, I will shut the door. I'll rebuke the devourer who's trying to rule your life. I will rule over him. I'll rebuke him. How do we shut that door? You honor God and he shuts the door. And he says, I'll shut the door for your sake so you will not, that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. How crazy is this? We just read in adultery, when you get into adultery, you will not enjoy the work of your hands. But when you put God first, he will make sure that you'll enjoy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. So he's saying, your field and your work, you will enjoy it. I'll rebuke the devourer. But when we open up doors, other people enjoy all our hard work. So give God a first of everything. What's amazing is Sunday is like the first day of the week, actually. What are you giving God? The first day of your week. When you wake up, morning, Lord, start your day with God. It's the antidote for pride. And the last thing, the last thing is the antidote for pride. What's the antidote for pride? You guys will know. It's humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. How many times have you made a decision to serve based on how it would impact you and not based on how it would impact others? Pride keeps you out of serving. My schedule, my time, my life. So a lot of us make decisions on how we serve others based on how it impacts us. Our serving, how do you overcome that? How do you shut that door? You're humble. You don't make it about yourself. You actually make it about what Christ has done for you. You make it about others. It's others-based. When people say, I don't know if the serving thing's working out for me. Was it supposed to be working out for you? I thought the serving thing was supposed to be working out for others. Well, how did we evaluate your serving based on you? It should never have started with you. It doesn't end with you. It starts with God and it ends with God and it ends with many people getting saved. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. How do we get more workers out there? They stop working based on themselves. They break that pride and they humble themselves, say, it's not based on my time. It's not based on my schedule. It's not based on my personality. It's not based on my location where I live. It's based on Christ and what Christ has called me to. I'm going to break this. Close this door. Here's an example. Our worship, it's humbling. I do these prayer walks, and recently I try to fast and go on fast. You want to humble yourself? You fast. Don't feed your body. You'll get weak. And he will make you strong. So I was fasting. I went to a prayer walk. And then I pray and I walk and I walk. And then I stood on the beach and I just had this. I just wanted to worship. But as I started worshiping, I thought, all these people at Eden on the Bay are just looking at me. Who's that nutter down there? That's what they were thinking. But here's what's crazy. Even as I was thinking, they're thinking that. I not only stopped my worship because of my pride, I stopped my worship because of man's opinion. But I didn't even hear their opinion. I just came up with it in my head. But then I thought that worship is so humbling because it gives glory to God and it makes me look sometimes a bit weird. It says, clap your hands, all you people in the Bible. It says, lift your hands in holy prayer. Chris Hodges says this, low-key worship, hands in your pocket worship, only protects your ego, but it gives no glory to God. You want to humble yourself? Start worshiping God the way he wants to be worshiped, not the way you want to worship. Again, how do you have pride? I worship based on who I am, my personality. Worship to God has never been on your personality. That's why you can praise loudly and passionately, not connected to your age. Praise is not connected to your age. It's connected to him. Worship's connected to him. All ways to overcome pride. So here's the thing. Revelation 3:7-8. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. So he's going to come in and shut doors. And he's going to close doors. And then he's going to open doors. He's in the business of opening and closing doors. He's the best security guard in life. You need to get him into your life. I know your deeds, he says. I've seen how you placed yourself. I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. So when you shut the doors of the enemy, God opens a door of favor on your life. You need to start speaking that over your family. God has opened a door that no man can shut. It's a door of opportunity. And here's what's so interesting. He says, I know that you have little strength. You know what this encouraged me about? When I was fasting, We fast twice here. We're going to fast again in July for 7 days straight. But when I was fasting, I felt weak at one point. I was walking and praying, and I just started feeling weak. And then he says, I see that you have little strength because you've been humbling yourself. Yet, when you were weak, you kept my word. You have kept my word, and you've not denied my name. So God opens a door for me as I've humbled myself. And he's closed the door on pride in my life. But here's the thing. I'm going to keep asking him to do it. I'm going to know that the enemy attacks in three areas.
Thank you for joining us for today's View Church podcast. If you would like to invest in our ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving.